Turn with me to Psalm 46 this morning. Hallelujah. You know, when we go through valleys and dark times as a Christian, we seldom come out of it without growing spiritually. And as I have shared with you guys during prayer requests, there's a little bit of uncertainty regarding my job and the cuts with Oklahoma Healthcare Authority and DHS. And that has caused me to get into the Word and begin to look at some things. And so I want to share with you what the Lord has showed me, because it's been a real blessing to get into the Word and find strength and security in Him in an insecure and an uncertain world. So Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1, I'm just going to go ahead and read this, and then we'll go back over it with a few other verses. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolate in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He bursts the chariots. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Isn't that a beautiful psalm? This psalm is a psalm that gives us strength in times of uncertainty and security in times of insecurity. Just want to kind of briefly recap a few of the points in this psalm. And I'm not going to... I could spend all day talking about this, but there's a few other verses I want to look at. So he tells us three things that God is. God is our refuge. That's a place where I can go and hide, right? We think of a refuge as like a protected place, a place that the enemy can't get into. In the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge. They were told when God gave Moses the law, He told them to position these cities within so many, what we would call miles, right, of all these other cities, so that any city of refuge was able to be ran to within a day. You just, you know, maybe you don't have a horse, maybe you don't have a camel, you know. And the reason being is that in the Mosaic law, and much of today's laws date all the way back. In fact, if you're studying for legal papers, legal tablets, if you're studying to be an attorney, then there is chapters, at least there used to be, I don't know if there still is, on the history of laws in different cultures, and they include the Mosaic Law. And under the Mosaic Law, if you inadvertently killed someone, you're swinging an axe, the axe head flies off, it hits somebody in the head, they die. This guy is coming after you. You killed his brother. And so you were able to flee to a city of refuge where you could be protected until the legality of what happened could be worked out. And so they called them the Avengers of Blood, right? And so someone was wanting to avenge the blood, but you don't want to be killed. It was an accident. You fled to the city of refuge. We live in an age where... life is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but God is our city of refuge, and we can flee to Him and find strength and comfort in time of need. The second thing the psalmist said is that God is our strength. I'm glad God's my strength because I'm not always strong. You know, pastors, they have to put on the persona that I'm the spiritual giant so I can feed you children. But the reality is I have fears and I have insecurities just like everybody else, right? And we all need strength, and the true strength comes from God. God is our strength. And the third thing the psalmist said, God is our refuge, God is our strength, he said God is our help in trouble. Now, I'm glad that God is our help, but notice it says, he doesn't just say he's our help, he says our help in trouble, right? And that implies that everyone, I don't care how spiritual you may be or think you are, you're going to have some trouble at times. You're going to have conflicts, you're going to have issues, you're going to have burdens. Incidentally, speaking of burdens, just kind of this little just thought, have you ever heard anybody say, I am just so burdened for the lost, or I have a burden for this person, you know? When I read the Bible, I don't really see that that's scriptural. I know that we probably heard it for years, but Jesus said his yoke is easy and his what? Burden is light, right? God doesn't intend us to carry around heavy burdens, right? So when he says he's your help in trouble, that's what he is. You don't have to feel the burden of trouble. You don't have to carry the burden of trouble because God is our help in trouble. And so because God is our refuge and God is our strength and God is our help in trouble, therefore we won't fear. Let that one soak in a little bit. Because that's what we do. We fear. We begin to worry. We begin to doubt. We begin to say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. But God is our refuge and God is our strength and God is our help in trouble. Therefore, we do not fear. Now, if I'm fearful, what am I saying? That I'm saying that God is not my refuge, God is not my strength, and God is not my help in trouble. So either the scriptures are lying or I am not believing what they say. Now, we say we believe what they say, but if our actions are fear, then our actions say we don't believe what they say, right? Now, you might say, well, I believe what they say, but I can't help but be fearful in this situation. Here's the answer. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the fearful say, God is my refuge. Let the fearful say, God is my strength. Let the fearful say, God is help in time of trouble. And the more I say it, the more it gets in me, and the less fear dominates my life. Now, he adds, though. You see, if that was the end of it, that'd be fine, but then you have circumstances out here that you can't control. Though the earth moves, what do we call that? Earthquakes. How many earthquakes have there been lately, Eddie? A whole bunch of them. Almost just like what Jesus said just before he's come, earthquake. So though the earth moves, the mountains fall in the sea, I would call that a tectonic shift. Though the waters roar, how many hurricanes do we have this season? 3 major ones? Devastation. Though the mountains shake, how many volcanoes are erupting in the Ring of Fire? Record numbers, right? So we've got all this going on. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Though earthquakes, tectonic shifts, hurricanes, and volcanoes are happening all around me, I am not afraid. Because there is a river and God is in the midst of her. There is a river and God is in the midst of her. Now, this passage is actually talking about the millennial reign. Because one day God is going to come to earth, and underneath the threshold of the temple, rivers are going to flow out for the healing of the nations. And God is going to be right in the middle of it all. And so, guess what? Very soon, There is going to be rivers of living water flowing from Jerusalem, and God is going to be in the middle of it. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So be still and know that I am God. Just be still and know that I am God. But Lord, you don't understand what's going to be still and know that I am God. But I read the headlines and that be still and just know that I'm God. And so, recapping one more time. Refuge, strength, and help in trouble. Therefore, I won't what? Fear. But what about the circumstances? Earthquakes, tectonic plates, hurricanes, volcanoes. Well, there's a river coming. God's in the middle of it. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's not just a refuge. It's the God of Jacob. I was listening to some program the other day. I don't remember what it was. But they was telling about this Jewish rabbi from Israel who went to a Jewish conference in Russia. And he only had like an hour to make his plane, and the word got out that it might be. And all of a sudden, they said, "Not to worry, Putin has sent his limousine for you. You won't miss your plane." So he leaves, he gets in the limousine, and Putin's in the limousine with him. Now this really, totally, you won't hear this in any of the media. Putin said, "The plane is going to wait. I want to talk to you." And he talked to this Jewish rabbi for an hour and a half in the limousine. See, what I didn't know is that Putin was raised by Jewish families. And he said, Alexander the Great, and he names all these kingdoms, and he said, they've all went away, but the Jewish nation is still there. And he recognizes the God of the Jewish nation. He recognizes that with Israel, the God of Jacob is the refuge. Yes. So what is the goal of us in times of trouble, in times of fear, in times of insecurity? Psalm 16:8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." I shall not be moved. It is the goal of the enemy of our soul to move us to fear, doubt, unbelief, insecurity. We will have trials and tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer. Have you ever studied that term, be of good cheer? Now, that was Jesus saying, you'll have trials, tribulation, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, right? Another be of good cheer is when Paul is on the ship, remember that? Waves are passing over the ship. They haven't eaten. They've thrown most of the cargo overboard, including the food. They've got just a little bit of food. Everybody knows we're going to die. We're going to die in this storm. We're going to drown. Our bodies will sink to the bottom and be fish bait. They all know it. It's just a matter of time. They're in a storm like no other storm they've ever experienced. These are experienced sailors. Paul told them they shouldn't go. Should have listened to the man of God. Didn't do it. And Paul comes up and says, be of good cheer. Now, you know they probably wanted to throw him overboard. But then he said, this night, the angel of the Lord stood by me. And he promised me, we're all going to make it. Have you ever been in an emotional or a spiritual storm in your life and you just said, Lord, I'm not going to make it. This is too big for me. This storm in my life is too big for me. And God says, be of good cheer. I shall not be moved. Doesn't matter how big the storm is, I know my God is bigger. Doesn't matter how strong the waves are, I know my God is bigger. The psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. There's a couple of hindrances to our faith in times of trouble. The first one is the fear of man. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do to me. This verse is an interesting combination of thoughts that I would not put together. It starts out saying, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, when I think of covetousness, I think of my TV is not nearly big enough. I need one of those new bigger ones. I want to see Captain Kirk in high resolution HD bigger. It's not big enough, right? That would be covetousness. Now, not all of you guys covet the same things I would. But covet is wanting something you don't have. And so it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, you know, if you're covet, your conversation is going to be covetous. Back when my kids were little, it was a four-head VCR, because a two-head, if you hit pause, you see those little lines. And so I wanted a four-head VCR so I could hit pause and it was crystal clear. And I would tell people, what you like to have one? You know, that's your conversation. But I wouldn't put covetousness with what can man do to me. But look at the dynamics of Paul's sentences here in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things you had. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. What does man have to do with covetousness? Well, you know what? 90% of our fears involve what something or someone is going to do to us. In my situation, it was, is the state of Oklahoma going to fund money so I have a job? Yours may be something else. But it all comes back to the fear of man. What is man? But God said, don't be covetous, for he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, so that I can boldly say, I'm not going to fear. What can man do to me? God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. So man becomes their first hindrance. The second one becomes a hindrance is the fear of bad news. Psalm 12:7, he shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. You know, we say we trust the Lord, but oftentimes our actions don't line up with our words. I had someone say, I thought you said you trusted the Lord. Call me on it. Because my actions weren't lining up with my words. What am I going to do? You know? I remember right after I got out of the Air Force, I had more bills than I had money. And one day, I ran a red light worrying about how I was going to pay bills. Thank God nobody was coming the other way. I could have been paralyzed, dead. And that's when the Lord really shook me and said, are you trusting me? No. Oh, I said too, there's one more. This one's really applicable today. Fear of terrorists and ICBMs. How many of you guys know what an ICBM? Intercontinental Ballistic Missile. Kim Jong-hoo, whatever, right? Psalm 91:5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Even back then, there was terror and arrows flying. They're just gotten bigger in the last days. And so, I'm not going to be afraid of man. I'm not going to be afraid of bad news. And I'm not going to be afraid of terrorism or thermonuclear war, because we trust in the Lord. And he is still on the throne. All right. Boy, this is a short sermon. I didn't write this with the intent of hurrying up and eating turkey, but I guess this is what I have. So, winding things down, two promises. Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Have you ever, like, had something going on over your in your head, and you couldn't sleep? I tell you, about a year ago, or no, it's been more than a year. I can't remember how long it's been. Something happened to my Gremlin. I just had the engine rebuilt, and I thought these guys tore up my engine. It turns out it was circumstantial, and I apologized to the man because I was ticked. That's my baby. You know, you talk about covetousness, right? I mean, I just had the engine rebuilt, and I took it in and had them just change the valve cover gaskets, and when I drove it off of the thing, it was missing real bad. And I didn't even, well, I made it home once, and when I brought it back to them, they said, something, you got oil in, on your spark plugs, your engine's ruined. And I was irate. And I didn't even make it home. It broke down at the Y, and I had to have it towed home. And it turns out, it just so happens, now, it's, you know, parts on it haven't all been replaced. Maybe the guy whacked the distributor with a wrench in the process and pushed it over the edge, but it was the distributor, and because it was misfiring, it was sucking oil, and it got oil on spark plugs, and the engine wasn't blown. But before I knew that, I couldn't sleep that night. All I could think of was, I can't believe these people have destroyed my brand new engine. And I tossed and I turned, and I was my stomach was in knots, and I was angry. That's not God's will, is it? When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You'll lie down and you'll sleep. Your sleep shall be sweet. I guess that's why the whole covetousness verse is there. We need to hold everything loosely other than the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. Amen. Last verse. This is a good one. I saved the last one for last. I had to do Bible study on this verse because I didn't understand it. But when I got it, wow. This is a verse from Job 11:18. And this is really the verse that started this study because of my feelings of being insecure about the future. And you shall be secure. I like that. Because there is hope. I like that. Yes, you shall dig about thee, King James, and you shall take your rest in safety. Okay, well, I understand the security part, and that's good. You'll be secure, and the reason you're secure is because there is hope. We hope in the Lord, right? Hope makes not ashamed. And so I get that. The Lord is my hope. I'm going to be secure. I'm trusting in the Lord. But what is this thing about digging around me? Okay, so I had to go back to preachers and commentaries to get this. In the Bible days, back in the Bible days, someone moves to a new location like Roger and Carolyn and Fort Gibson. One of the first things they do when they pitch tent and move is they dig wells. Because if you don't have water, you don't want to live there. And so you would dig a well. And then when you hit water, you're set. Because you got all this livestock that has to have water. And you got plants that you're growing. So your entire existence depends, if you're not living near water, on that well. And once you dig that well and you've hit water, you can water your livestock, you can water your plants, your vegetables. And you are now secure. Now, if you remember the story of Abraham who had traveled here and there in Israel, and you read Genesis, and he would dig these wells. And then Isaac came along, Jacob came along. Remember, their enemies came and they put rocks in their well and filled their wells. And boy, that would tick me off if someone came and did that, wouldn't that you? And so the enemy wants to cause us to be insecure. He doesn't want us to be secure. But the promise in Job 11:8 says, you will be secure. You will be secure because there is hope. You know what? I began to think about everything differently when I meditated for the last week on this verse. Because there's, you know what I even thought about? Now, I know I said I'm 100% sure the final 7 years begin in September. You know what I thought about? There was two sets of 7 years. And the first set of 7 years was the fat cows. And we look at what the economy has been doing lately. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're in the fat cow 7 years. I don't know, but the point is, I have hope and my future is secure. It doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what the enemies of America do. It doesn't matter what anything does, because I'm secure, because I have hope. And he says, you will dig about you. You know, you're not going to go into foreclosure. You're going to be established. Amen? You're going to dig wells. And then you know what you're going to do? You're going to take your rest in safety. You're going to say, hey, my future is secure because I have a God who is secure. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come on up, Nola. Hallelujah. Now, throughout the Bible, there is examples of people who were insecure for no reason. Now, there may be some valid reasons for feeling insecure. Talk about Jonah. Getting swallowed by a whale and having him swim to the bottom of the ocean, that's a good reason to be afraid. In fact, the Bible pretty much indicates that he died for 3 days and then God resurrected him, a type of the crucifixion and resurrection. And you will say, well, write that guy off. His future is over, but with God, he had a future. Or you think about the disciples after the crucifixion who are hiding behind locked doors, just wondering when the Roman army is going to come in and drag them out for being a follower of Christ and start nailing them to wooden beams. They were fearful. And you turn the page, and there's a new day. Jesus is alive. And on the day of Pentecost, that Peter who denied the Lord 3 times, preached, and 5,000 people said yes to Jesus. So, what is the bottom line to all of this? If God is in it, it's going to be all right. Doesn't matter how dark it may look, if God is in it, going to be all right. And therefore, we are secure. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the security we have in you. We will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. We're secure because there's hope. We're secure because there's hope in you. I pray, Lord, for each person here. Maybe they have gone through their period of insecurity and fear. Maybe there's things in their life that have begun to haunt them about what tomorrow may bring. But you told us, Lord, you gave us a promise. You said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have worries of its own. You said that our Father in heaven sees a little robin when it falls from the nest, that he knows how many hairs are on our head, and we're more precious than little robins. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. For Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed as beautiful as the flowers that God makes. And so what he was saying is, you're mine. I've got you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't be afraid. Just trust me. Have hope. And so today, Lord, our hope is in you. We ask that you continue to lead us and guide us. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the foundation of our faith, Jesus Christ, knowing that our future is secure in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and we'll finish up with a song. Nola, whatever you want to play is fine.
Oh, let the sound of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul.